So once you become a Christian, your number one job is to grow up as a Christian. We need to get out of Christian diapers. We need to get off of a pacifier to make us feel good. We have to stop being babies. You know, if you read the New Testament, you know, the Apostle Paul was a very awesome teacher. And he spoke to a few of the churches, Galatia and Corinthians and a few others. And he expected them in 2 years of being Christians, he expected them to be mature. You know, stop drinking milk. And it's time for you to get some teeth to start chewing some good meat. And some of us are still tangled up with diapers and pacifiers. And we still want somebody else to take care of our things. We don't depend on the Lord. We depend on our brother, our sister, our pastor, or whoever else. God wants us to grow up. And it takes personal commitment and responsibility to do that. You can't expect your pastors, your elders, your overseers to take care of you and all your issues. The Lord wants first and foremost for you to depend on Him constantly, not just when trouble hits, constantly. So, one of the best ways to grow up is to become part of a small group of Christians. This is not an idea that came from a denomination or the world out there. It is a God's design for all of us. He wants us to be involved in a small group. If you are a believer in Jesus, until you are connected with other believers, you will never become what you were made to be. You will never become truly the Christian that you were intended to become. You are a building block in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus started his ministry with a small group of 12 men. Now, Jesus was in charge of the greatest ministry on earth. And Jesus, he knew that he only had 3 years, and then he was going to be crucified and die and be buried and raised from the dead and be the Savior of the world and start his church. And he only had 3 years. So he chose to spend his last 3 years with 12 men to teach them, to disciple them, to spend those 3 years doing life with those 12 men. He mentored, he taught, he trained them, he lived with them. He talked with them. He walked with them. He encouraged them. He corrected them. He put all his chips on those 12 men. And today, it is said that we have 2.8 billion Christians all over the world out of one small group. Like I said, there are 2.8 billion people that claim to be Christians in the world. And yet, if you read the book of Acts, this is how the church got started. This little group of people, they didn't have any political power. They didn't have any military might. They really didn't have any financial backing from anyone. They were not very organized. They didn't have any buildings of their own. As a matter of fact, for the first 200 years, they never had any official church building. The first 200 years of the Christian church didn't have buildings. They met either in houses or under a tree somewhere out in the open. They had a lot of government opposition. There was always something against them. They were socially ostracized. They were politically persecuted, even physically tortured at times. Christians feared for their lives. We see James being stoned for preaching the gospel very quickly in the book of Acts. So this church, the odds were against them, and yet Jesus spent the last 3 years of his public ministry, well, basically his public ministry, he spent it sharing life with a small group of 12 men. Some of us think we can do it all by ourselves. Oh, you know, me and God will handle everything. No, the truth of the matter is we need other believers, and other believers need us. There should be, can you go one back? Somehow this went all the way down. One forward. Oh, never mind. Now I lost control. Go one further, please. There you go. I know if you're old as I am, you will recognize that speedily. Let me refresh your mind, you younger ones. That's a Lone Ranger. There should be no Lone Ranger Christian in Christ's church. Jesus doesn't want Lone Rangers in his church. No organization is stronger than its foundation. And the foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ was built on the building blocks of small groups. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto with him. He really wasn't lone. He knew he needed somebody by his side. What makes you think that you can do the Christian life by yourself? I found out this about a week ago. The largest brand in the world is the Lego brand. I mean, that's worldwide. One brick by itself is worthless, is useless. In fact, you know, it tends to hurt when you step on it barefooted, when the kids left it. And so they become useless by themselves. But it wasn't built to be by itself. It was built to be connected with other bricks to build something greater than itself. And this is what small groups are all about. Now, small groups, what do? First of all, small groups build faith. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, very early in the chapter, in the book, it says, and they, that's the believers, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Those 12 men began to teach others. And people gathered around them. Like I said, they didn't have a church, but they gathered individually. And whenever there was a big gathering, they would gather and listen. Now, I'm not saying that you can't grow alone spiritually, and you should be growing alone. You should be spending time alone with the Lord every day. You should be reading scripture alone every day. You should be spending time in prayer alone every day. But for me to grow the way I should grow, I need others. Am I growing the way I should grow without being in a small group? The answer is no. You see, there are certain things that you get to find out in a small group. You find out if you are growing spiritually. You know, they'll let you know. If you're growing, how fast are you growing? They'll let you know. How well are you growing? They'll let you know. There's a scripture in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. What does that mean? That's Greek to me. That means we help to grow in interacting with one another. We need one another. We need to interact. You know, you take a knife that's very solid metal. You need another metal to sharpen it, to make it useful. The same thing happens with us as Christians. We think we can handle life by ourselves. No, we need one another. You know, Vinny was talking about him and his wife and the interrelations there. I can relate with him very much. I've got a wife that is very strong-willed. And she's very determined. She knows where she's going. And boy, if I don't watch it, she'll run over me. You know, she has to learn patience. And with me, she has learned a lot of it. I have learned to be proactive because I am usually very laid back. And so I need her as much as she needs me. And together, the Lord has used us tremendously where he wouldn't have been able to individually in certain areas. And that's what happens in small groups. The interaction there, one helps the other helps one, and they both grow and become very usable in the kingdom of heaven. In this church gathering today, you don't have much opportunity to ask questions. There's very little time for personal interaction, except when the Lord speaks to somebody. But otherwise, you sit there and just listen, and you don't have, hey, I have a question here, I have a question there. It becomes chaotic. This is not that kind of setting. Sometimes you have questions in the service that you cannot ask because this is not the setting to do that. Sometimes you have situations that you need wisdom for, but this is not the setting for it. You know, in a banquet, waiters serve everyone the same meal. There's no time for individual wants in certain one of those banquets. This is a type of banquet. And this is not the setting for questions and discussions. That is supposed to take place in a small group. Iron sharpening iron. That's where mutual encouragement, discussion, teaching, and the mutual influence happens amongst the group. So we grow in faith in a small group. Another thing that happens in small groups is it builds fellowship. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, continuing there, we read the first part. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. Fellowship is not just hanging out with each other. It's a devotion that every believer has for the others in the group. In verse 44, he says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had needs. See, you may be able to have certain kind of needs that you don't want to express in a large group, but you can do that in a small group. And sure, either I have what it takes to meet your need, or we'll just find out how. But that happens in a small group, not in a church setting like we are right now. And you don't know what are really the needs of others until you are in fellowship with them in a small, intimate group where they can open themselves and say, really, I have this need or I have this concern. Oh, yeah, I think we can help you. Yeah. The Christians were committed to Jesus, and they were also committed to fellow Christians. Are you committed to the Lord Jesus? You probably say, oh, yeah. Now, are you committed to the person in front of you or behind you? Say, I don't even know them. we are pastors. Do you think we are committed to you? Or do you think we just show up on Sunday and Wednesdays and pretend and act like we're something special? We're so committed to you that we make ourselves available to you 24/7. We want you to grow, to be encouraged, to learn. We want you to have all the tools that you need to be successful in life. Now, the scripture says that they continued steadfastly. That means that they were devoting themselves. It was not just I think we can make it. No. I don't care what's happening on Sunday or Wednesday or Tuesday. I don't care if the Super Bowl is happening. I don't care what else. We're going to do this group thing. This is important. My brothers need me, and I need them. It wasn't just a casual. Well, if there's nothing else to do, I'll show up. If my social calendar is clear, no. We're going to do this. A small group is like a greenhouse up north. I've never been up north living, but I've heard of it. You can't grow much stuff in winter up north. In fact, the other day, it got down to 30-something, and some of my plants sort of cuddled. But in a greenhouse, you can have a greenhouse up north in winter, and the environment around inside the greenhouse is controlled to where you can grow even subtropical plants. And so a small group does something similar. when you're part of a small group, the world is always going to keep on coming with all kind of stuff to you. But if you have the greenhouse effect of a small group, then together, two or three or four can help each other to handle the attacks and the adversities of life. There's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 18. It says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Now, this is God's opinion, not man's. You isolate yourself. You want to have this Christian life all by yourself. You are raging against all wise judgment. In other words, God has got something better for you. There was a survey done in the year 2000 by a sociologist on the different relationships in America. At that time, attendance at club meetings had fallen 58%. Family dinners together had fallen 33%. Having visits from friends had declined by 45%. Now, that was in the year 2000. That was before internet, social media, cell phones. That was before the pandemic. Can you imagine what those figures would show up today to be? You know them. You don't need a survey to know that you don't dine together with your family as much as you used to. You're too busy. Life is too complicated. You don't have time to visit friends. You send them a text or maybe an email. Once in a while, a call. But you don't stop there. You don't have time to stop there. Just say hi and chat a little. Small groups build fellowship. Thirdly, small groups build accountability. Now, if you come to this church at any time, you can decide to stop coming for a month or two. A lot of people would not notice. Some will notice. But maybe no one will do anything about it. That will not happen in a small group. You cannot run or hide in a small group because they care about you. And they don't want you falling off the grid. We all need to be accountable to somebody else. And maybe you'd say, oh, I'm accountable to God. It's not enough. You know, you understand that God is merciful and He'll forgive you. Your small group will be a little more strict. And they'll say, what's wrong with you? Because they care for you. And they can see where you are. You know, self-deception. You can deceive yourself in your relationship with God. But you can't fool your close friends when you're part of a small group. Small groups, they give personal encouragement to you that you don't get in this kind of meeting. You know, you may be hurting or you may be having an exciting day. But because of the setting of this group, you cannot fully share it to the fullness. That's what small groups are all about. You are someone, not just a number. You get your identity as a person in a small group. You are somebody significant. You have a plan and a purpose. God has made you with specific gifts and talents and abilities that you can explore and enhance in a small group. And then small groups, they build friendships. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, it said, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common." That's friendship. Verse 46, it says, "So continuing daily with one accord," that means that we're together, that we're doing life together, "in the temple and breaking bread from house to house." They were intimate. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Researchers say that it takes 50 hours from being an acquaintance to becoming a casual friend. 50 hours just from knowing somebody to making them a casual friend. It takes 90 hours from a casual friend to become a regular friend. But it takes more than 200 hours before someone becomes a close friend of yours. And you think that you can put a 3-sentence comment on the web and you get 1,000 instant friends, and that you're popular. Well, keep thinking that. See how far it takes you. My wife is my best friend. We've spent nearly 49 years together. Now picture this. What if I had told her after the wedding that I would only see her for 2 hours every week? That would not be a marriage, but a business arrangement, wouldn't it? Is this the kind of arrangement you have with the Lord as a Christian? Some of you only show up to be with God and God's people 2 hours every week, and you call him your Savior, your Lord, your life. You know, at my age, I've learned that life is all about relationships. I don't do a good job of it, but I realize that it is. And the best relationships are the godly relationships. There's no place better than a small group to develop those godly relationships. My wife and I got married when we were not saved, and we almost killed one another. But the Lord intervened, and we survived, and now we're best buddies. Now let's start at the beginning. Don't worry, we're not going to get to the end today, but we're going to start. Excuse me. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The Hebrew word for God is Elohim. And you know what? Elohim is not a singular word. Elohim is a plural word. You see, God has always existed in a small group. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Do you think you're better than God and you don't need to be part of a small group? Not only do you need to be a part of a small group, The small group needs you to be a part of them. You see, it's a two-way street. You get blessed, and you get to bless. Now, just for the record, there are at least 19 small groups in this church. There's the board of directors, counseling ministry, breakfast ministry, children's ministry, couples ministry, dance ministry, elders ministry, evangelistic ministry, jail ministry, ladies ministry, men's ministry, music ministry, outreach ministry, prayer ministry, sound ministry, Spanish ministry, website ministry, young adults ministry, youth ministry, and I'm sure there are other discipleship groups going on within this church with some of you. I don't have a small group to belong to. Remember the word steadfastly? That means you have a part to play. You need to plug in. You know, Eli almost tripped in here when he was bringing the pulpit. This piano is awesome, but only when it's plugged in. Some of you, God has made, I know, all of you, God has made to be awesome people. But you have not plugged in, so your potential has never shown up. You need to plug in to a small group. If you don't like any of the ones that are shown there, make one of your own. We're very flexible here. Become a Lego. Become a Lego Christian. Get into a small group. Plug in. Be connected. And let's build one another together. Let's grow together. Let's do this life together. And see what really the Lord intended for you and for that small group to become like. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the example that you gave us. I pray, Lord, that we are doing life with other Christians, Lord, in a close environment where we develop faith, fellowship, friendship, discipleship. Father, that we learn to do life together and learn to encourage and help one another and see what you do in each one of us. Father, help us. Help us to find the right place where the gifts and talents and abilities that you place in each one of us can be enhanced. Father, that we find the purpose of life that you've given us and that we can be a blessing to those around us. I bless your people, Father, and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.